Hello, everyone. This is Esperanza Ray with New Consciousness, New World. Welcome to today's show. I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today, Patricia Albert. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Patricia, but then I'm going to let her tell us a little bit more because I don't think I can really do her justice. So just briefly, for the last 40 years, Patricia has taught from the emerging edge of consciousness, awakening others to the profound depths and infinite wisdom accessed by way of two or more people connected to larger and more powerful evolutionary forces. So you see, Patricia has a great deal to share with us today. Patricia is also the founder of Evolutionary Collective, also known as EC, a new model for awakening community, for the awakened community. The Evolutionary Collective is one of the pioneers of the emerging evolutionary consciousness, establishing a new intersubjective field of intimacy, truth, mutuality, and depth that allows participants to transform inside an intense, accelerated collective field. Now, I'm trying to to do justice because the words are big. So here, a global webcast. She also does a global webcast, which is Evolutionary Collective Conversations, or ECC. Top evolutionary leaders like Patricia for dynamic online dialogues. Patricia, tell us a little bit how you got started into all this, because I mean, you have an incredible amount of experience and wonderful things to share with our audience today. And like I said, I don't feel like I can really do you justice because of you know, you really are more knowledgeable than I am on what you do, of course. So could you tell us a little bit how you got started into all of this? What changed your life and put you in this direction, if you would?
Sure. When I was 18, I went to San Francisco, as people were doing in the, you know, late 60s, early 70s, from New York. And I met a man named Werner Erhard, and Werner was the founder of EST, which is now the Landmark Forum, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, where, you know, they have centers. I think there's about 3 million people at this point that have done that work. And I met him, you know, 1970, when you said the word transformation, people looked at you and they would actually say, "You mean like a butterfly?" I mean, there was, you know, there were people that went to India. There were some people that were doing transcendental meditation, hardly anyone. And, you know, in the West, there was, and if you were in therapy or something, it was like you didn't tell anyone because it was, you know, you were like shamed. So it was really at the very beginning of this whole boom, you know, that's now, you know, there's so many people that are teaching and coaches and various kinds of workshops and, you know, real methodology for awakening for people and yoga and, you know, on and on. So for me, I sort of fell into that very, very, very young and worked with Werner for 12 years and helped establish, you know, that work, which all the coaching schools, all of that has come out of. And, you know, continued on my journey, you know, continued to study. I had my son is 31. So when I was pregnant with him, I left working with Werner. And then, you know, continued to study other things, more things that were more spiritual and had more of like a mystical quality to them. So that's at least the beginning journey. Do you have is there anything you want to ask or?
Well, yes. I was going to say, basically you started with Werner, right?
Yeah.
But it seems like you also took it into a little bit more of a spiritual aspect because I understand some of these teachings have actually been applied in the corporate world, which is, you know, spirituality is not necessarily something that, the corporate world is interested in.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't go in that direction. Many of my friends did. You know, there were people that had studied with Werner and then went into, using transformational work in large corporations and stuff like that. That was never my interest. Mm-hmm. For me, after, you know, there was a period of time after where I ended up getting divorced, and I went to a spiritual community, and I met a man who, you know, sort of beyond a soulmate. You know, I didn't know it at the time when we first met, but it was like soon after. There was a way that we were together that was so profound and so deep. And we started to have like a dual awakening. So there was a spiritual awakening that was happening, but it was happening because of the way we were together and the fact that we had obviously, you know, a huge potential of connection. And so I had no idea that that was possible. And he died. He was in a car accident and was brain injured and then, you know, died about 3.5 years into the time that we were together, which was obviously horrible. But I was left really, really not only grieving, but just in so much pain and struggling with this beauty. I mean, the depth and the power of what we had experienced. And I was teaching. So the only way I could translate finding that space was I tried to start to create that with the people I was working with. And there were certain kinds of openings that were happening. And I started to discover like how you could open up the space that we were in with people. And so the work that I'm doing now, you know, with the Evolutionary Collective, and I'm going to be doing an online course called Revolution, Unleashing the Transformative Power of Relating. It was really the, you know, like, you know, most people, I think there's a certain opening and there's usually pain where you have to, you're sort of forced to discover something that then has not only a contribution to your life, but to the lives of other people.
Yeah, so, sort of like a test kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just seems to be that is what happens in the world. But the other element of it is having done the personal transformation, I think most people are working on themselves individually, you know, healing and discovering their potentials and actualizing, you know, the kind of possibility of life they can have for themselves. Having done and worked with like over 100,000 people in this individual way, even though I worked with groups, it's usually people working on themselves inside of a group. I realized about 8 years ago, because I'm sort of usually on the beginning of things. And for me, it was just like, I was glad that it was all happening in the world, but I felt like, where's the edge now? You know, where is the next beginning? There must be a new space and consciousness that's wanting to open up. And I just felt, you know, I just couldn't keep doing like, you know, more of the same or more, you know, some new version of the same paradigm, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, like scientists, you know, some scientist creates a whole new genre and then millions of scientists kind of fill it out. You know, they keep discovering more things that are within that context. But it was time for a new paradigm. And I, you know, fortunately have people that trust me and were willing to do some experimental work together. And we started to discover what happens when you work together. And there are certain kinds of exercises and, you know, there's the whole thing in working together. But instead of working on their individual lives, we were actually working on the power of what can happen between us. So we were working on the relatedness between the people and also in the group field itself, like how to elevate that and how to make it more spiritually potent and, you know, all kinds of things. And so that started to happen. And interestingly enough, you know, the Einstein quote of, you know, you can't solve the problem at the same level you created it. You know, in a way, our individual lives are, you know, when we work on it directly, it's like you're trying to solve a problem at the same level that created it, which is you. And I noticed that what was so powerful was that when people were willing to start to pay attention to what actually happens between them and others, and to really make that powerful and strong, that their individual lives get transformed more powerfully through that.
Right. When you talk about the group, are you talking about the abilities to manifest overall as a group, and it impacted the individual aspect of that, or are you referring to something else?
It's actually something else. So, you know, think about, like, in the last 40 years and probably longer than that, you know, a lot of the focus of culture is, you know, and since Freud, you know, since the 1800s, you know, all of a sudden we discovered that if we started to pay attention to our past and our history and various things, we could actually grow as human beings. And prior to that, people weren't really paying attention to individual growth and, you know, our maximizing our potentials. So we've spent a lot of time individuating, you know, getting in touch with how we feel and, you know, what we truly want and what will make us happy, which is, you know, developmentally, if you think about the, you know, the planet, if you think about the Middle Ages, I mean, they weren't doing that then. You know, maybe some people were, but, you know, for the most part, they were trying to survive in particular ways. So the development of our individual lives and, you know, the five, you know, steps to finding your soulmate and various ways of creating abundance and, you know, and different kinds of genuine awakening, you know, where people have meditated and really, you know, seen what they could do on their own individually. It has, you know, we've been doing that for the last, you know, 40, 50 years, you know, and many of us, you know, spending thousands of hours and dollars doing that, right?
Right.
So
right.
This is different. Instead of being in a group, so if you and I were in the Evolutionary Collective and you're with the other, you know, 50 to 100 people that are in the group, what we begin to work on is we start to do exercises and we start to do practices where what we're paying attention to is our ability to deeply see each other and to begin to become awake to the multidimensional ways in which we're connecting.
Basically, I think what you're talking about is quantum consciousness, correct?
Yeah, that would be. We're enacting, you know, so the difference between Newtonian reality of separate objects, you know, that bump into each other, which is the way that mostly we deal with our relationships. It's like you're over there, I'm over here, and then we try to communicate across the distance, is we're actually enacting and our consciousness is opening up into that wave particle consciousness. But as human beings. So we're actually discovering that in our experience together.
Right. The quantum particle. Yeah. Which you're able to utilize to heal yourself basically, and also to change your life in so many ways. I talk about that too. There's a word that I was taught, which is called absolute knowledge. Uh-huh. Which is what it's exactly what you're describing, because it's quantum consciousness and it's experiencing the relationship between other people's at all levels, which is very
right.
Very and there's no room for confusion or misinterpretation.
Right. And the practice is together, because you can't really do that if you're trying to heal some, you know, part of your life, and I'm actually with you and I'm actually trying to discover this consciousness between us, then it's not going to happen, because we're not mutually together with the same focus of attention and reason for being together.
Mm-hmm.
So to gather people together that are willing to go to the next step is kind of a big deal, because usually people are just, you know, are pretty busy with themselves.
Right. And so this is part of what you teach. So do you have to, how do you find, in other words, How do you find the people, or the people come to you, and obviously for the, through your workshops, to teach these abilities and this way of consciousness?
Yeah. I mean, we've been pretty lucky because it's such, it was like in the beginning of us where you're communicating and people are looking at you like, what, you know, like, what are you talking about? You know, which I'm sure some of the people listening are like, what is she, you know, how does that apply to life or my life or whatever? There are a lot of people out there that actually have done a fair amount of work on themselves, and they're kind of over it. You know, there's a certain point where you just are like, okay, now what? Now what do I do? You know, it's like, it isn't that you're perfect. It isn't that you're totally enlightened, but you just know that there's some, you sort of lack a certain kind of, like, you don't want to go get certified and you don't want to go do another thing. You're just, and you don't know what to do. I mean, you actually don't know, like, well, what's next? You know, what's actually possible beyond what I can see? And our message is really for those people, for people. And there are a lot of younger people that they just aren't attracted, you know, to doing the same kind of workshops and courses. And, you know, they just kind of aren't inspired about it. And so what we're doing is kind of very cool. You know, I mean, there's like, you know, you get to do these exercises and these practices with other people that are really amazing. We have people that have done spiritual work for, you know, 25 years or, you know, 10 years, or, I mean, people that have real depth. And when you, or newer people, but they're really open and they're really committed and they're really willing to be on the adventure, you know, to actually discover how extraordinary something can be between people, to have that multidimensional awakening.
Right.
And that's, you know, we're getting the message out, and there are some people that are just like, oh, thank God. You know, I mean, they're so relieved that there's actually a new frontier to enter into that's different than the self-help or, you know, personal, even awakening, you know, personally trying to get enlightened.
Right, right. Well, it's really interesting because, you know, I connected with you in a way. Sometimes these things happen to me by accident, or what appears to be accident when in reality is synchronicity and there's a purpose. But it's really funny that you talk about multi-relational, and you talk about evolution, and you talk about relationships. And it's really funny because since I started my spiritual path, I've been addressing my fears throughout my life in the spirit. And right now, in the last few years, I've been addressing relationships and at all levels, because, I mean, as you address all your fears, they affect almost every aspect of your life. But the relationships, I knew was going to be something that really, really was a little deeper than everything else. And of course, everything revolves around those relationships. So yeah. It's interesting that, you know, I got to you know, to hear about you and the work you do and all this relationship related stuff, yeah. Which is exactly what I need, you know? So yeah. I thought this was really interesting. Now I'm curious though, I want you to tell me a little bit more about what your workshops, and I also know that you're in the process of writing a book. So yeah. I want you to tell us about that. But one of the things that really I was a little bit shocked when I realized that your courses are 7-week courses, and, you know, or 4-month seminars, and that's not something that most people can deal with all at once. So can you tell us a little bit of how that works into the picture?
Oh, it's actually worse than that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the simplest thing is there's a 7-week course where it's an online course. So, I mean, it's 90 minutes on Wednesday nights, you know, I can't remember the time, but it's, you know, it's a 90-minute session where you get online. I don't know if you've done any online courses, but you call in and there's a way that you can work with, you know, 100, 200 people where they can actually work together. You can put them into like little pairs and groups.
Yes.
You know, you talk and it's great. It's like being in a room where you say, okay, pair up with somebody and, you're going to work on this for the next 10 minutes and come back. And so, you know, that's the 7-week course. And it also has two bonus question and answer sessions, like on a Sunday, that's also an hour and a half, is, I think, a pretty, you know, it's committed enough. You know, you have enough time to really deepen and to take in the knowledge and the information and the way that the work is set up so that it could really make a difference in your life. But it's, you know, you can be in Peru, you know, I mean, you could be in anywhere in the country. If you have to miss one, you can always listen to the replay the next day and do the work yourself. So it's, I think it's pretty non-invasive, you know, and relatively easy to make that work for yourself. You know, I mean, so we do that intentionally so that people have that opportunity. The deeper work for the people that really go, wow, you know, this is amazing. You know, I mean, there's something that happens when I start to do these exercises with a partner and I'm noticing the impact on my life and this sense of intimacy with myself. And, you know, things are getting easier in my life. And, you know, I'm just, you know, it's easier. I mean, what people find is that the deep kind of blissful states that they go into when they start to do these practices with another human being, it is so much easier to go into these sort of deep meditative states almost instantly when you're working with a person. And often it's a hell of a lot harder when you're just sitting in a chair by yourself, you know, breathing.
Well, true, but at the same time, there's a level of trust that you have to build in order to be able to bear your soul to another person.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, everything has its cost, for sure. You know, I haven't noticed that that's changed on the planet yet. And so, you know, especially with relationships, you know, we talk about, like, there are 9 different principles that I use that are very powerful, that I call evolutionary mutuality, where if you know what they are and you can begin to develop them, you know, let's say if you know, you were in a relationship with a friend who really wants not just a normal relationship. I actually cover that. I go over Maslow's hierarchy and actually show people that most of our relationships are based on one of the different levels of survival. Basically, there are deficiency needs that most relationships are fulfilling. You know, I need this. I need to feel good about myself. I need to feel like I belong. I need to feel safe. You know, I mean, those things. And I go over that so people can actually see if there's something missing, including trust. You know, one of the levels is, how do you build trust with other people? So we cover that. But then, when you start to move into the higher states, you realize that instead of deficiency needs, there are being needs. And the first level is self-actualization. It's like this desire to be in relationship as a self-expression. It's like you want to be who you really are and share that with another person fully, and you want them to share themselves fully with you. That's a being need. And then beyond that is called transcendence, which is also what we, you know, a lot of what we're working on is these transcended experiences, and how do you actually access those states with another person? And
right.
it's, you know, it's all, you can also call it we mysticism. So there's a quality of, like, the mystics are, you know, like longing, you know, looking for the beloved in God. And what happens is there's a way to open up with each other in a very sacred way that allows you to experience that kind of sacredness and a kind of mind-blowing love and beauty that, you know, most people haven't even experienced in their love relationships, like in an intimate one. So, yeah, you have to be willing in the work that I'm doing. You have to be willing to at least come into it knowing that you want to become more open. You want to discover how to be more vulnerable, more real, more authentic. You know, that you want to have enough courage to kind of keep finding your way through that. You don't have to do it perfectly by any means. But, you know, if you want to stay guarded, you probably shouldn't do anything with me.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, I'm not, Right. I believe truthfully that if you want to grow, you have to really bare yourself. And oftentimes it is better to bare your soul to someone who you don't know because you can forget about it. But it does take a certain amount of courage and desire to really move forward as a person, as an individual, and to grow. So,
You're absolutely right. And it is easier. I mean, it's interesting. One of the women who had never, you know, she's over 50 and she'd never had, you know, like a really long-term love relationship, and she'd really wanted it, and, you know, et cetera. And when she started to, you know, she's gone deeply into the work with us. I mean, we actually have a group that meets together, you know, 3 times a year, in New York City for 3 days. And then we do a lot of online stuff, and it's a big commitment. People fly in from, you know, Australia and Amsterdam and all over the country. And then there's obviously people on the East Coast, but so she committed, you know, she definitely went for it. And she's in the most delightful, gorgeous relationship now. And she, I mean, something was so nourished in the way in which we're working with each other, like something relaxed in her and was so being fed by the level of connectedness that we sort of live in together, you know, that the work provides, that it really made it possible, I think, for this man to show up in her life who's really beautiful. And she's not getting tense or desperate or, you know, I mean, when you're not nourished, it's hard to actually let in what's possible in relationship.
Right.
You know, because you're just too hungry. You know, there's some part of you that's too, and you can't pretend not to be hungry if you're hungry.
Right.
You know, no matter what they tell you to do. I mean, if you don't have enough nourishment, you just don't. And so, yeah, so part of that happens as well for people.
You talk about the, you know, evolutionary relationships. Now, most people don't know the difference between that and regular relationships, which most of us think we have anyway. We consider a relationship just, you know. So could you elaborate on that as to what the differences are and, you know, what's important about these relationships? How it makes for a better relationship through evolutionary relationships as opposed to traditional relationships?
Sure. So first of all, an evolutionary relationship can be with anyone. I mean, it can be with a friend, it can be with someone you work with, or it could be with a you know, someone that you're in love with. And you don't need a lot of them. So it isn't about having, you know,
quantity but quality.
Yeah, actually there's a certain level of development as a human being where you start to actually want much more depth with less people. So it doesn't mean that you don't want to still have friends and stuff, but you want to invest, since we only have 24 hours a day and we only have a certain amount of life force, you know, you actually want deeper relationships that have more potential, you know, that really...
Well, that makes sense, because when you have a relationship, a true relationship, you are able to connect at all levels. Whether it be at the soul level, at the physical level, or at just the support level, you know, in every aspect, superficial relationships are, you know, what I think most of us understand by relationships a lot of the times, because we're willing to settle for so much less.
Yeah,
you know, we're willing to put aside. I think part of the problem is we don't think really through what we want. And what you're talking about is you're going through an analysis process. What is it that I really want? What is it that, you know, my very being is wanting? Not just what my eyes are seeing or what I'm hearing or anything like that, or what's socially important, but it's more the individual, but at the group level as well, right?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, part of what, to be really honest, like in the 7-week course, part of what I do is, because this is actually a new paradigm, I'm putting things on the menu that aren't on your menu. So when we think about what do I really want in a relationship, we're thinking about it within a certain framework of what we know to be possible. And so, you know, you always automatically think inside of whatever the paradigm is. Just, you know, paradigm is like, you know, way, way back when we thought the world was flat and that we, you know, all everything revolved around us. We thought inside of that worldview. I mean, nobody thought that there was something beyond that. We just thought inside of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So relationships, relatedness, you know, to go back to that quantum, you know, entanglement and all the rest of it, the way we relate as human beings for the most part isn't very awake. One of the things, somebody that I know who's a colleague went to, there was at the Pope's summer palace, right, in Europe, there was a meeting with the Dalai Lama and all of these luminaries, you know, these amazing, awake, conscious teachers. And they're beautiful people that, you know, inspire us, you know, to live better lives, and they make a huge contribution to all of us. And what he said that was interesting was he said that the relatedness, the space between the people was like nothing new happened there. So people expressed, you know, their enlightened views and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And it was all very nice. But given the power, you know, I mean, given that you have these amazing people, if you could open up the space where they were turned towards each other in such a way that their consciousness could really open and the creativity and the light and what was possible could actually awaken in that moment to new possibilities instead of just sort of being individually who they are, then something extraordinary would have happened, right?
Right.
Instead of everybody just sort of being themselves. And what he realized was that that relatedness itself is unconscious. It's not any of the people. It's the way we are with each other as human beings is asleep. And what we've started to discover and what we're experiencing in the work that I'm doing is we're actually like the connectedness itself is waking up. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it makes perfect sense. I think the way I was listening to Deepak Chopra on one occasion, watching one of his videos, and he was talking about the way education is set up, and specifically he was referring to the medical field, but
yeah,
it's about education nonetheless. And the way it's structured, it really doesn't allow for a lot of development of awakeness. It really is more you just accept what we're telling you, and that's that. And I think that the way our culture is, it leads us into precisely being non-awake and being more dormant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are institutions that do that in general, but what I'm speaking to specifically is the space between humans. The way in which we relate is usually ego. It's more ego-based. So there's a sense of separation. There's a sense of competition. There's a sense of comparison. There's a sense of what am I going to say next? I mean, there's lots of different iterations of we are separate.
Right.
Instead of how do we open in this moment to a kind of catalytic possibility to see what kind of like if, you know, like if you think about sex, it's like people that are separate don't make new life. But if you come together, right, if your seminal, you know, if the fluids are mixing, right, if you get to that point, you can actually create a new life, which is amazing, right,
yes,
on a physical
yes.
level. It's like a miracle, which what I'm talking about is this awakening in turning towards each other in a particular way where you literally begin to experience that your relatedness is creating new life for both of you.
Well, it's like connecting within the divine of each other, and in yeah. the relationship is, and it goes back to what Jesus was saying about where two or more gather in my name. I think it was more than just gathering in his name. I think it was the ability to connect with each other's divinity, the unlimited potential and power that exists within that. Yeah, so I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So, and the evolutionary part of it, though, is that it's this time, you know. So, if you think about evolution, you know, we went from, you know, we'll just get up to the part where there was living cells, right? You know, I mean, single cellular creatures, you know, or single cells, you know, lasted for a really long time, and then eventually they started to come together and create, you know, have like a membrane that would grow around them so that they would become more complex and they had a more complicated relationship with each other, and they could, you know, they were more awake and more complex. And if we think about, you know, you and I are actually made up of, you know, 6 billion cells.
Yes.
So we're like communities of these very complicated cells that have come together to create a complicated awake consciousness called you and me. And humans are like these separate cells again. And so one of the things that we've been finding is that, and Teilhard de Chardin, who was a Jesuit priest, who was quite a visionary, sort of saw the possibility of the internet and the thinking layer of the earth, you know, way before, you know, like 100 years ago. But anyway, so what happens is that if we generally, when we're together, like the cells that we are as humans, when we come together, we usually maintain our separateness. And if you come together and, like you were saying, share the deepest part of our souls, so that the energy that's being shared is this deeper union, then these larger, it's almost like you can feel the relationships and the collective of the group that, you know, that we're working with long term is literally like becoming this more awake, conscious, collective being. And we're still individuals within that, but it's almost like you become part of something larger that right. has collective consciousness. There's way more energy that you're living inside of. You know, you're not just kind of on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something awakening that's fascinating, that we're finding to be really fascinating.
Right. You're absolutely right. This is the next level on our evolutionary process. It's just there's, you know, people think they can halt the evolutionary process, but that's not the case. You cannot halt evolution. You can only move forward in it. So this reminds me basically of the cities of the future, the crystal cities, where there is already this existing of what you're talking about. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The connectedness. I mean, there's an experience of individuality, but there's the collectiveness, and there's no feeling of loneliness or emptiness, because everything is interconnected.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, this is...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I guess that's what we're like... my commitment is to bringing that into existence here and now as much as possible, with as many people who are that are ready to enter into that.
Right. Well, I think that's what we're all here for. It's just that we're all involved in different aspects. So you're also writing a book. Now, is the book intended to be a leeway to your work, or is your work? Go ahead.
It's the same content. I mean, the name of, you know, the proposed name of the book is Weevolution. You know, Weevolution,
right.
Unleashing the transformative power of relating. And, you know, a lot of the content that I'll teach in the Weevolution seminar, that will be what's in the book. You know, obviously it's a way to live it. And, you know, like I'm better, you know, I have somebody who's a brilliant writer working with me, because I'm really good at how do you make these things live in people's lives. I mean, that's been my work for the last 40 years. You know, writing about it is like a whole different thing. So, it's similar content, though.
You're more into the research experiencing aspect of it, and yeah, sometimes it's very difficult to put into words. something I know from I know because when I was trying to describe the crystal cities of the future, it was very hard, and I found it so limiting to be able to express these concepts in words, because it's just almost impossible. And I think we're in a process of evolution where what we consider currently to be miracles will become everyday things because of the potential, the limitless potential of these capabilities that we have. That's why one of the reasons I say that, you know, we are beginning to use the most powerful tool that man has, which is their mind. And we really have never really tried to do that. We've always gone outside of ourselves through inventions, through technology and everything. And I don't think that's the way of the future, to be honest with you. Those are important things that our mind helps us, but I think that the mind is capable of manifesting so much more than what we can do with our physical capabilities.
Yeah, so saying there's a man, the man named Michael Murphy, who created Esalen, which was one of those experimental places, and it's continued to be successful. It's in California, and they do a lot of courses and workshops there. But he wrote a book called The Future of the Body. I don't know how many years ago, but he did the, it was fascinating because he was studying these super capacities that human beings have. You know, athletes and meditators and, you know, telepathic empathy and, you know, just all this really cool stuff, which is clearly, you know, in my experience, I mean, that's part of what is getting developed, the empathetic telepathy and some other stuff like that in the work that I'm doing. But, you know, obviously, you know, as humans, you know, we have extraordinary capabilities that most of the time we're so busy trying to survive and trying to get our needs met and trying to make sure that we, you know, have enough money to do this, that, or the other thing, get food, and, you know, that we don't have the energy to put into the fact that we are extraordinary. Do you know what I mean? We are the future now.
Yeah. There is really no other time but now, really.
Right. But I mean, there's this sense of the other thing that I feel is in this way that we're working is, you know, there was a time where part of what we were paying attention to and getting very good at is, you know, how does the past affect us? You know, how is your childhood affecting you? How are your past lives affecting you? You know, your karma, et cetera. And then obviously a lot of spiritual work is about, you know, if you listen to Eckhart Tolle and others, you know, it's really about the deep present. You know, how do you really, really be here and as fully as deeply as possible, and to let go of worrying about the future and, you know, obsessing about the past. What I feel that we're moving into is, it includes the past and this deep present, but there's a kind of opening towards the future present so that you can actually feel, like you were saying about the crystal cities, you know, it's like you can feel this looping and this relatedness with, like, the vision of the future, but it's here.
Yes.
And it's informing and shaping you rather than the past shaping you as strongly. And
if we allow it, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, if we have the right relationship to it, and, you know, that's part of this, it, you know, is how do you turn and let go of more of this sort of past orientation and be fully present, but then open toward what is pulling you, which is interesting, you know, and that longing and, you know, paying attention to not compromising and listening for the deepest place in you, and that relatedness to the future. So,
yeah, I want to also, you're talking about the evolutionary relationships and, you know, the difference between traditional relationships, but you talk about also bringing or manifesting heaven on earth, which is also a very key for me, because I've used this expression, you know, many times.
Yeah.
And I use it in my book, talking about the future cities. So tell us about, from your perspective, what that means from the perspective of evolutionary relationships and the quantum field of relating.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. I had lunch the other day with Martin Root, Rutte, and his whole mission, he was one of the ones that wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul for Work, brought spirit to work and stuff. And so we were having lunch and he was talking about heaven on earth is his new mission. And so he's been, traveling and working and asking people, what was your, I can't remember the three questions. I haven't studied them yet, but, what was your experience? Have you ever had the experience of heaven on earth? And then what would heaven on earth be for you? And he said, everyone has an answer. Everyone knows what it is. They know what it is through their own experience, but nobody doesn't know, which I just think is so beautiful, that we just know, that there's something more possible here. So my answer is, for me, because of what I experienced with Peter, the man who died, I experienced, there were times when just the depth, we were so connected. And, I remember one night, and obviously we were lovers too. So we had the whole extraordinary kind of love, tantric lovemaking that was, off the charts. But I remember one evening where we were together and the intensity of the love and the beauty and the sacred quality. And there was just this like glistening light. And I felt like I was an angel. We just were like not two human beings anymore. And I remember walking out on the street the next day and I wanted to just run around and go, do you understand? I felt like I'd been on another planet. I felt like we were living in heaven. And then you'd walk out on the streets and you'd want to like tell people that something was possible. And you knew that they'd think you were a lunatic. So for me, what I'm experiencing in the EC, that in the ongoing group, is there's this beloved quality. So there's a quality where you start to actually experience it for real, not just read about it from Rumi, but to feel that with many other people. You feel this like that you can hardly speak because it's so beautiful and deep. And for me, heaven on earth, it would be that the quality of consciousness and the way that we relate is so elevated that we do experience that connection and that sense of oneness and sensitivity to one another, and that we see each other and feel each other more as the beloved. And obviously, you'd still have personal relationships that have different karmic, you'd still have your lover and you'd have your husband, not your lover, but you'd have your lover, husband, and friends and, people that you're supposed to do things with, but that you'd have a much more profound experience of human beings being connected to each other in that way. And then all of the things that would happen from that.
Yeah. Well, that was part of what I was trying to say when I said that we settle for so much less.
Yeah.
Because we don't think there's anything better. And in regards to what you said about everyone knows, I agree with you 100% on that, because we're all divine beings made in the image of God or a higher being or a higher source, whatever you want to call it. And because we're made in that divine essence, of course we know what that is. When we take the time to listen and to connect with that essence, which is what you're doing, that's what you're helping everyone to do. And that's what we're all trying to do on the planet, because this is the key to our evolution. For me, heaven on earth, I describe it in my book too. And again, it's the future cities. And they do talk about that in the Bible. And I'm not trying to talk about the Bible from a religious perspective, but more from a spiritual perspective. But to me, it is the ability of healing, like Jesus did. It's the ability to go into deep meditation like Buddha did, into a state of consciousness that's much higher than what we are able to experience. It's experiencing that connectivity, like you said, with everyone. It's the ability to reach at a soul level, and not only to reach, but to experience the same experience from your perspective and the person that you're all the people that you're connected with. And that was the interesting aspect that to me heaven on earth is. And because we're able to communicate at that level, there is no miscommunication, there is no war, but there's a mutual very high respect for each other as human beings, because we're able to tap into the divine essence of each other. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It also makes the golden rule alive.
Yes.
Because if I experience you, I can still experience like my divine essence, but I really feel you. You know, here's a crazy thing, right? So the man that I'm teaching with, Jeff Carrera, who's the head of Education for Enlightened Next, Andrew Cohen's work, is my partner. And not my romantic partner, but my teaching partner. And we have an incredibly, you know, like we have this relationship, this profound way of being with one another together in our teaching and just in the impact that we're having with each other, right? But here's like a stupid thing, right? This is like a stupid level of, like, you get so connected that he's been a vegetarian for 20 years or longer. And I'm not completely a vegetarian. And I've eaten eggs for breakfast. I like eggs, right? You know, for like ever, every day.
Me too.
Every day forever. And I also love burning incense, but I'm trying to sell my house in Santa Fe. And the real estate agent has said, you cannot burn incense because when people walk in, they smell it and they have a thing. So I'm so frustrated that I can't burn incense. It's like actually a little bit painful. So anyway, so we had the most incredible experience in New York, you know, with the 3-day, with all the people, and it just everything went deeper and it was more amazing. And ever since then, I came home and I thought I couldn't eat eggs. I haven't been able to eat eggs in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And because they just seem yucky to me. And, they, you know, it's like this, it was like, how did that happen? You know, it's not like I'm 20 years old. I mean, this is my whole life. And he just moved to Philadelphia and he went out and bought incense and he's been burning incense and we hadn't said anything. And after
I can tell you how it happened.
I know. After a week, I said, I can't eat eggs. I think that's you. And he started laughing. He goes, do you know that I've been burning incense? I said, you're kidding. Because he didn't know that I wasn't allowed to burn it.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You can explain it.
Well, no, I was just going to say that basically we have an energy field that is, I don't know, up to 26 feet, you know, all around us. In some places it's called the torus, and it's like a donut and the energy just flows. So when we are with people that we, especially people who we connect a lot with, our energy field impacts their energy field. Oh. And when you are open to receiving that, then it impacts your vibration and you impact theirs in return. So it's beautiful. And one of the things I also wanted to say was the ability to be at this level of consciousness that you are helping humanity with is so beautiful, because when you're in a group of people that you just click with, you notice the joy, the laughter, and there's like this energy vibrating all over your body of joy. And that's exactly what we want to achieve with everyone.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If this sounds remotely interesting to people, you know, if they can, even if they don't understand it all, they're just kind of going, yeah, but it sounds really curious. You know, I'm sort of fascinated. I really highly recommend, you know, they should go to my website. It's evolutionarycollective.com. There's all kinds of things they can listen to. There's blogs they can read so they can, you know, try to make sense a little bit more out of, you know, whatever it is that I've said. And there's actually a free call next week. So if they go to evolutionarycollective.com under courses and they look for Weevolution, they can actually sign up for a free call And I'm going to do an hour and a half call on perfect relating. Like, what is this dance of perfect, like, synchronicity and relating? And we'll do some exercises and people can actually, you know, step into the experience of it and see how that fits for them. And then if they're, you know, so duly compelled, you know, there'll be an opportunity starting May 15th. There is that 7-week course that they can dive into. And definitely it's the kind of thing that if you're have a partner that you're, you know, you really would like to open something up and go deeper, it's such a perfect opportunity because you could practice together. You know, I mean, it's something where it's like, it's almost like a good excuse.
Right.
To expose yourself to some new possibilities together and then to begin to be in a 7-week dialogue and do some practices and really take on moving into a different possibility.
Right.
And have the support for that.
I would love to also be a part of that call. I also wanted to mention to the listeners that if you cannot remember We Evolution, which I think is easy to remember, you can also search for Patricia Alber, and it's spelled A-L-B-E-R. And any search
– E-R-E.
E-R-E.
Yes.
I have a little bit of
That's okay.
dyslexia, I think. But – the website will come up because I know I've searched
found
for
it that way.
So
yeah. So they just, if they go there, but evolutionarycollective.com or Patricia Albert, and just, if they get it all confused, just send me an email, you know, at Patricia Albert, Patricia@evolutionarycollective.com. And I'll point them to the free call and they can jump in and, you know, see if this resonates for them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually the point.
Now, Patricia, quickly, you talk about a 7-week course. Now, is that an everyday course or do you certain days of the week? Just one day out of the week?
Okay. That would be a bit much. Even though I'd probably love to do that, but I wouldn't ask other people to do it. It's on Wednesday nights and I believe it's 7 to 8:30. What is it? It's 8 to 9:30 on the East Coast. So it's an hour and a half and it's 7 Wednesdays.
Well, the information is on there just in case.
So it's
just in case.
It's just once a week for 7 weeks. And then there are two Sundays where there's a question and answer where people can call in and I'll work with them and answer questions and, you know, make sure that everyone has what they need in it. And then they get the downloads, you know, so they can listen to it after. You know, there's a lot of other things that come along with it that help to support people to integrate the material.
So people, you hear it here. And if you have a partner that you want to bring into this, it'll probably make your relationship even better. So what have you got to lose but just to check it out?
Yeah.
So Patricia, thank you so much for being with us. And maybe we can have you on the show again.
Great. Thank you so much, Esperanza.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for joining us.